for those of you who may not know me, my name is Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Church in Medina here. And I am absolutely super excited to be with you today. And so if you're here in person, if you're in one of our venues upstairs, if you're joining us online, we absolutely, as Grace said, we count it a privilege to be with you. If you're new, we want you to know that we count it a privilege to journey with you as you try to figure out this Jesus thing and to introduce you to him and to introduce you to ultimate hope for our lives. And so I want to start out just by reading, as I jump into the message, I kind of want to just start out just by reading a passage from what Pastor Kevin talked about last week from Ephesians chapter 5. So would you read this with me? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. And so for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. That's from Ephesians chapter 5, and there is no denying it whatsoever that the Apostle Paul has written right here that marriages have incredible significance in our world, that they are something that should be protected. And I'd say that marriage has this pretty significant impact on the world around us. And so there's a couple things that I would want to say about marriage. I would say that healthy marriages point the individuals in that marriage to Christ. I would say that when we are, there are ups and downs, there are ebbs and flows, there are great times, and there are times of stress, and there are times of turmoil. And yet if we are founded in Christ, if our foundation is there in God, that foundation points us to Jesus even in the hardest of times. And I would say that healthy marriages point the children to Christ. So if you're sitting there and you don't have kids, you might be saying, well, I don't have kids, so how does that work? I would say this to you, all of you who are married, if your marriage is healthy, it points others to Jesus. And most of all, children are watching marriages. They're learning from our marriages, and our marriages point them to Jesus Christ. And I would say that healthy marriages point the church to Christ. So all of us in the body of Christ are impacted by those around us who are married and by the love that we show to each other and by the health of our marriages. And finally, I would say that healthy marriages point the rest of our world to Christ. I would say that the world around us is watching. And so as we end this series today, I want us to remember that marriage is this beautiful picture of Christ Jesus, our Lord, to his church. And it requires that both the husband and the wife love each other and sacrifice for each other. And so the health of the body of Christ is directly related to the health of the marriages within our body. And so it's children and it's young adults and it's adults and even it's community outside of our walls is impacted by the way that we live as a church and by the health of our marriages. And so here's what I hope to accomplish today. I hope that we can recap what Pastor Tony said about the chesed relationship and Christ as its foundation. And I hope to explore the significance of God's plan for our marriages. And then I hope to give you and offer you some practical steps that each of us can take in thriving in our marriages. So you may remember a couple weeks ago that Pastor Tony pointed out that the Bible is full of images of marriage. And one of the biggest ones is that we as a church, we are compared as the bride of Christ. And I think that that is an amazing way, when you really think about it, for God to see us. That God, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, is drawing us to him. That he is reaching out to each and every one of us, drawing our hearts to him, as if he is a groom and we are his bride. And for those of us who are believers, God is constantly reminding us, you are mine, you are my bride. And he would say, abide in me. John chapter 10 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And so we have eternity to look forward to with the God who created the universe, with the one who loves us more than anyone else will ever love us. In beauty and splendor, we get to love him, we get to worship him, we get to spend eternity with him. And so then for those of us who are here, for those of you who are here who haven't chose Jesus yet, I would say this, that Jesus is drawing you. He wants you to join him. And so the Bible says that, behold, I stand at the door. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. And so the analogy of Christ followers, Christians, as the bride is paramount to our understanding of marriage, because it is the foundational analogy of how God thinks. See, Jesus is drawing us to himself, whether we have chosen to follow him or not. And marriage is his invention. And he has a plan for what marriage should look like. And so it's not just important for those of us who have already gotten married or those of us who are heading in that direction, but it is important for us all. In fact, I would go as far as to say that for all of us who are Christians here today, we are active participants in marriages succeeding. See, if we are Christians, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, meaning that followers of Jesus, we have this great responsibility towards each other. So the health of the marriages around us and the care that is given those is something that we all are called to care about together. We're all met with this responsibility of guarding not only our own hearts and our own bodies, but guarding the hearts and the bodies of those who are around us, of our brothers and sisters as well. And so how we treat others matters. How we allow ourselves to view others matters. The images that we allow to go into our minds, to swirl around in our minds, those matter. The conversations that we have, they matter. And as we discussed this incredible word the first week about covenant love, this word chesed, which I'm saying like Tony, chesed, right? He always makes you turn to your friend and be like, chesed, right? And I hate that because we all spit on each other and it's weird, right? But whatever, fine, chesed. But it's a Hebrew word and it is used 245 times in the Old Testament alone to describe this covenant love between God and his people and between human beings. And has said it's translated in the Bible in a whole bunch of different ways. And in English, it's always one word because English is just kind of simple. But really, it has this great meaning. And Tony pointed out that it has these three large factors. It has affection. This idea of warm feelings and adoration, care and kindness. It has action, these tangible acts of generosity and joyful self-giving. And then there's commitment, this steadfast, loyal, I'm not going to leave you in any way. I'm with you. I'm committed to you kind of love. And so here's the thing. If you remove any of those things from hesed, it is no longer hesed love. So the biblical view, the biblical vision of marriage is intended to display and be founded upon that kind of covenant love. Look at what this Jewish rabbi, one Jewish rabbi said about hesed. He said, hesed is a form of love that extends beyond any sin or betrayal to heal the brokenhearted and to graciously extend forgiveness. No one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. And so God's example of our perfect example to live by in our marriage as well as in all other relationships, his example is one that is filled with affection, with action, and with commitment for each other. But the antithesis, I was saying antithesis earlier. I don't know, okay? Like Grace said, words are hard. But the antithesis of hesed is contempt. And so contempt often comes from our frustrations. It comes from unmet needs. It comes from unresolved conflicts in marriage. And honestly, it can be found in all relationships in general. And so a good test of whether we have hesed in our lives is to look at ourselves and say, do I feel this deep affection, this care, this emotional softness, or do I feel hardened or angry or distant? And if your answer is I feel hardened and angry and distant, or hardened or angry or distant, it is likely that contempt is creeping into your relationship, to your mind. And this is the thing. Contempt will erode away the affection that we need to feel for each other. It will erode not only affection, but as it erodes affection, that will lead to the erosion of action. And then finally, it can lead to the erosion of our commitment to each other. And it can lead to growing resentment towards our spouse and towards others. So last week, we talked about this crazy cycle idea. We talked about wives feeling unloved. We talked about husbands feeling disrespected. And so in our confrontations and in our arguments and our misunderstandings, these things, they can grow out of control because she feels that she is not loved, and so she reacts, and he feels that he is not respected, and so he reacts. And you can say that in multiple different ways, but the cycle continues until we do something. And when those things are left unresolved, they lead to contempt. But there is hope. And there is hope for overcoming contempt. And so I'm going to leave you hanging. And in a couple of minutes, we are going to come back to that. And I'm going to give you a couple of, I think, practical steps for how to find resolution and how to find that love. But first, I want to explore the significance of God's plan for our marriages. So we actually have done this a little bit throughout the series, right? We've talked about hesed, we've talked about Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look a little bit more at God's plan, how it really leads us to thrive. Last week, Pastor Kevin, he talked about the S word, submission, right? And so in our world, in our culture, that is not our favorite word. Honestly, that's probably just a human thing. But I want you to remember what he pointed out last week, that this is a choice. Wives, this is a choice. It's a choice to place yourself into a submissive place in a relationship. Husbands, it's a choice. You do not get to prod. You do not get to pull. You don't get to be in an argument and be like, hey, Pastor Jeremy said you need to submit to me. I did not say that. Okay? It is a choice to place oneself into submission. And husbands, that choice is not an easy one. Everything in our culture says to rebel. There are entire groups of people who have bonded together to fight against all submission in this world because it is the human condition to fight against. But when a husband loves his wife well, it begins to be easier for to build a marriage that looks like a wife being willing and being able to trust her husband. And to submit in love and to sacrifice for the good of her family and her husband. And so she's not a doormat. Instead, she is strong. She is kind. And she is caring. And she is a God-fearing example of a follower of Jesus. A love and support to her husband. Possibly a mother who is a support and who guides her children towards Jesus. One who loves others, one who loves other women and leads them towards Jesus. One who loves all those who are around her. And that is God's design. His design is that when submission to him, to God, by both of us happens, it is a profound and has a profound effect on both the marriage and on those who are witnessing that marriage. So I'll tell you a funny little story. So I like to tease my wife every once in a while. And my wife was a teacher for about 19 years. She spent quite a bit of time as a teacher in schools in inner city Philadelphia. And during that time, I too was an inner city teacher for 2 weeks. So when we're having conversations and somehow her teaching thing comes up, I'll be like, yeah, remember when I was an inner city teacher? And she just rolls her eyes and is like, oh my goodness, here we go again. But you know what was really cool about those 2 weeks? What was really, really cool about those 2 weeks was that we got to work together. I was one classroom away from her. She was a fifth grade teacher, and I somehow lucked into having the fifth grade room that was right next to hers. So we taught fifth grade together, and her students would come to me, and then they'd go to the next fifth grade teacher, and then they'd come back to her, and it was awesome. And we got to work together, and we would eat lunch together. And I'm sure that like close to the end of those 2 weeks, she was like, God, please send him somewhere else. But at least up until that point, we got to have some wonderful times together. And you know, she was remembering that the other day as I was working on the sermon. She was reading through it because she makes these sermons so, so much better. And she was reading through it and she was like, I remember that my friends came up to me and they would say, you guys are so cute. It's amazing how you guys work together, how you love each other. And she said, I think that was a picture of God, of Christ working in relationships because her friends knew that she was a follower of Jesus. And they knew that I was a follower of Jesus. And they knew that we loved each other and cared for each other. And many of them said, I want that. Maybe because I was eye candy, but more likely because it was a cool relationship. And so husbands, the husband's love mixed with the wife's respect and submissive spirit leads our world to see marriages and a church that is thriving. And our world wants that. They want to know that relationship. Because our world, if we are honest, is quite a miserable place due to sin. It is a lonely place. And yet the kingdom of God, the church that we get to be a part of as believers in Jesus, is a place where hope and peace and forgiveness and strength and rest can be found. It's truly it's a sanctuary. It's the place where the world should find rest. So last week, Kevin, again, he pointed out, and I do want to say that I love Master's Pizza, and it's good. I'm not endorsing Master's Pizza, but it is good. Hopefully you use that number to eat that evening. But I got to do this wedding, right, for two of my soldiers, and I really hope that someday I get to tell you the entire story of that wedding and how that wedding came about. But I always talk to couples during the wedding ceremony about four things, and I want to share that to you. I will tell them that they are saying, I'll say, you are saying to each other that I love you enough to close off all other options. We will pursue each other exclusively. And this is non-negotiable. This is marriage. This is not a schoolyard dating relationship. We have vowed before God and before the witnesses that are here and before all these folks and to our spouse that I will be with you through anything, that there are no options, that I am with you and you only. And so this is, so the second thing that I will say to them is I will say, you are saying to each other that you are my priority. So maybe some of us need to catch this. You are my priority, not my mother, not my friends, not sports, not drinks, not books, not my career, not even our children. You are my priority. And I'll be honest with you, in my marriage, I have struggled with this. So I am a project guy. I am a guy who loves to get it done. If you give me a mission, I will power through that mission. I will make it happen. It will go smoothly because I will plan it out. I will make it work. And the problem is that marriages are not projects. Relationships are not projects. And so I, at times, have gotten so into those projects that I have forgotten the one person, the one human that is my top priority, that my wife is second only to God Himself, that she is my top human priority. And so we all have work to do in this. So back at the beginning of the message, I read this. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's a direct quote from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, but it's also found there in Ephesians chapter 5. And this is an idea that is spread throughout the Bible, that husband and wife are two people who come together in this beautiful picture of the two are one now. And so here's a little diagram that I like to draw for couples in premarital counseling and in marriage counseling. And to be honest, I'm always caught up by the idea that this is so profound. But a pastor once showed it to my wife and I, and it has been something that has helped to lead our relationship. So here's Jeremy and Katira. This is my wife and I. And I want you to know that God is in this box with us. But this box is the boundary of your marriage. You can put your own names in there. And the problem is that outside that boundary, there are all of these influences that would love to get in, that would love to influence you, that would love to work their way into our relationships, that would love to take away my priority. And so there's work and hobbies and, of course, Ohio State football. Whoop, whoop! But like those things, they take time. They bring influence. And if we're not careful, our marriage can begin to look like this. You see, these influences, they can move in. They can become the marriage. They can take priority. And I'd be a fool to not point out that in many ways, this is our biggest one here, our children. See, we live in a culture right now that tells us that our children are our number one priority. That we are supposed to give them everything that they want. That we are supposed to make sure they have the best school system and they have the best sports opportunities because they're all going to become professional athletes. And that we that we are supposed to do all this wonderful stuff for them. And yet, they are not the most important human relationship that we have. And to be honest, if we follow our culture's view of this, they would look more like this. And you know what happens at the end of our kids' 18 years? They go to college. And what's left of the marriage, and I have seen this so many times, is nothing. Because we have been giving everything that we had to our kids for so long, and there's nothing left. And that's a scary thought, and it should scare us a little, but we should remember that this is what we're looking for. That not only our children, but our children will find great peace and great, I promise you, that they will find great peace and great comfort, that their anxiety will go down, and that they will feel much, much better if this is what our life looks like. Because children want to know that their parents' relationship is solid, that there are boundaries. They want us to have boundaries. Send them outside to play. Go away. This is mom and dad time, right? But also everyone else. These influences that try to get in many cases it's work, right? But those things that try to get into our box, but what we ought to do is it should be Jeremy and Katira, or place your names there, and God. And that's the boundary. And we should work towards keeping that boundary as far pushed out as possible towards protecting our box. And so we don't know what's coming. And so I'll say to them, I'll say, I will keep my appointment. You are saying, I will keep my appointment with you to the unpredictable future. Because we don't know what's coming, but you finding me somewhere else with someone else, that won't happen. I am here for the future with you. You can trust that. You can hang your hat on that. You have an appointment to the future with the one that you vowed your life to and no one else. And then finally, I'll say to them that I am committed to the process of becoming more like Jesus in our lives. To be honest, if we are doing this fourth one, a lot of those other three will come in hand, because our relationship with Jesus leads us to a relationship that is strong in our marriage, because the Bible and Jesus tells us that this is our number one human relationship. And so that leads us to the final thing that I want to talk about today. I would love to give you just a few practical steps towards a thriving marriage. So the first is this, it's repentance. And as I promised, the first step to overcoming contempt in your life is confession. That you ask yourself, in spite of what is going on, do I feel hardened? Do I feel angry? Do I feel distant? And then you tell God that you're failing in this area. Not worrying about the other person and why, but telling God, I am failing in this area, God, and I know that I vowed to you this. And so you ask him to examine you and to move you out of contempt and towards love, and towards respect for your spouse. And I know that there are all kinds of external factors and that there are all kinds of other things that play into this. And I know that some of you are in marriages where this may not be possible. But you still can do the work in your heart right? And so repentance means doing the work of confessing and making a change. And so then the second step is to reintroduce warmth and affection. Marriage, and I think all relationships, require affection. Warmth is part of that. And that can be accomplished in a number of ways. Maybe you and your spouse explore, maybe we as married couples explore our love languages. Maybe we remember, maybe you already know what your spouse's love languages are, but if you don't, maybe you don't know what that is. The book, Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Get it on Amazon. It's not very expensive. Read it together. Go through it. Figure out how you love each other. How do I love and how do I feel loved? And then you do the work of loving each other, of caring for each other, of softening your heart. Maybe you ask God to soften your heart. And then rather than complaining, we share our needs with each other kindly, softly. And that can be a hard one, because to share our needs, we need to be very careful not to put the other person on defense. To practice talking to each other the way that we would want to be spoken to. Because that allows us to envision how it would go if we were confronted in a perfect way by the other, in a way that would not put us on defense. And to remind ourselves of the commitment that we have made. This is the person that I vowed my life to. And so you love this person, but right now maybe it doesn't feel like that, but you remember that commitment and you take action. You remember the warmth that may not be your go-to, especially if you're hurt, but you try to move your way back into that. Because how someone responds to the sins of their spouse has a disproportionate effect on the ability of their spouse to examine the trespass that has happened to them. And so we would also ask, it would also be a good idea to examine that box of commitment. Are there influences outside that have crept in? Are there people or hobbies or things that have crept into your box that are breaching the boundary? And what are those things? And you could talk about this kindly and lovingly together. And how do you make your spouse a priority again? And how do both of you redefine the boundaries? Because every marriage is a union between two sinners. Forgiveness will always be our constant guest. But forgiveness is costly. And in some ways, all the more so in marriage. Because marriage reveals to us more than we want to show. And it opens us to more pain than just about any other relationship in life ever will. And so we inevitably must forgive the same sins over and over and over again. I think that Jesus said 70 times 7. The thing is if you can even do math like that, which I can't, but if you can, that's a lot. And you're not even going to remember it, how many times you've done it. And so it's good to remember that this love, as much as anything else on earth, is meant to look like the cross of Jesus Christ, right? It's the picture of Christ Jesus to his church. So it's meant to look like the cross of Jesus Christ. And so it in no way should ever surprise us that it sometimes feels like a cross. And in fact, that feeling is probably proof that we are doing something right. And so the next thing that you could do is you could seek out marriage mentors. So we have this amazing group of mentors here at Grace Church that have been trained to help in marriage mentoring. And in fact, if you would do me a favor, on your seats, there's that card. Grace talked about it earlier. She said you're probably sitting on it, right? This card, it's on your seat. This card is a quick way for you to sign up for marriage mentoring. And if you're joining us online, I think there's also going to be a QR code on the screen there for you to look at. These are easy ways for you to sign up to get into a marriage mentoring relationship. Marriage mentoring is a great way for you to have a relationship with a couple who has significant experience in marriage. Most of our marriage mentors, they have a minimum of 10 years, most of them 20 plus years in marriage. Most of them have gone through all kinds of training to mentor other couples because they love you and they would love to walk beside you. And this is for the couple who's really struggling in your relationship. This is for those of us who are having a rough patch, but it's not too bad off. It's for those of us who are newlyweds or those who just feel like it would be nice to be proactive and to build a toolbox of ways to succeed and to thrive in marriage. And so I would ask you, if you fall into any of those groups, as we just keep going here, would you fill out that card? And here's what I would ask all of us at the end of the service. Would you just take your card, even if you haven't filled it out, and would you place it in one of the offering bins around the auditorium? So I put a couple of the black tubes at the end of the aisles, and we have the offering bins against the walls. As you're on your way out, would you just drop your card? And don't worry, we'll reuse them if you haven't written on them, but here's why we want you to do that, because this is an effort to make sure that no one feels uncomfortable. To make everybody feel comfortable with being able to do this. We don't want anyone to feel singled out that they need help. And so if you're a person that would be maybe hesitant to do this because of that feeling, I would say that there is no shame whatsoever in getting help. My wife and I, we go to marriage counseling from time to time. I would say every 3 or 4 years, we'll go back just to get some help. Because it's important. Our marriages are our number one priority, and it is important that we get rid of the stigmas. And we're willing to say we need help. Our marriage is that important. And so then on top of that, we've got these two amazing equipping division classes. Grace talked about them earlier. So the first one is relational wisdom. You can see they're coming up here, September 16th through November 4th. The first one is relational wisdom, and it is a great opportunity to really learn how to operate in relationships, how to communicate in love, and how to understand emotions, and how to have wisdom in your relationships. And then the second class is how do Christians grow? For anyone who's a new believer or someone wanting to grow in their relationship with Jesus, this is a great class for you to jump into. And I think that your relationships will even be impacted by this because the foundation of relationship, the foundation of marriage, of all of our relationships is our relationship to Christ Jesus. And so here's the deal. On the cross of Christ, we see all three aspects of chesed. We see a Savior who's taking action in sacrificing himself for us. We see his affection as he cries out, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." We see his commitment as a loving Lord and King who is willing to give all of himself for our good. And so as Christians, our marriages are called to echo that. They're called to echo that of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. So what I want to do today is I want to not call us out or embarrass us, but I want to call us up. I want to call us up into a full relationship with Jesus Christ, into a fuller, more deeper, more challenging life in him. And I want to call us up into a relationship that mirrors Christ and his church. And I want us to call us up into a local representation of the body of Christ who are unashamed and fully devoted and who are protective and proactive in and towards our marriages. So I'm going to start with the husbands as the band comes up. Husbands, God is calling us to love our wives just in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or blemish, but holy and blameless. And so we husbands are tasked with leading our wives and leading our families in such a way that our relationship echoes Jesus to his church. Look at that imagery. He gave himself up for her. He's making her holy, cleansing her through the word of God, presenting her as radiant, without blemish, but holy and blameless. And it is hard to present my wife holy and blameless if I have not loved her. And so, men, it is time to place our stake in the ground. This is our moment. It is our moment as believers in Jesus Christ, because we must place our stake in the ground. We will love our wives. We must sacrifice, we must change, and we must lead, because we get to present our wives to Jesus someday. We get to do that. And in fact, we will do that, whether we want to or not. And so our mission is to present her as holy and blameless to our God. So my question, husbands, is would you be willing, are you willing to do that, to jump into this mission? This has the potential to be your stake in the ground moment where you turn the corner and mirror Jesus Christ to his church. And for all of us, not just husbands, but all of us, Christ Jesus, God loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own life, his own self, that we might stand before God someday as spotless and holy and blameless. And I want to ask you if you might take a moment right now. And I'd ask that you bow your heads. You don't have to close your eyes, but if you bow your heads and just focus for a moment with me. The health of our marriages is so important to God's church. And so I would be a fool to think that there aren't marriages here that are struggling. Would you take a moment right now and would you ask God to search your heart, to show you what you can do? Would you right now in this moment, if you have wronged your spouse, would you confess that now to God? Would you confess that to God, and would you confess that to them if this is the right time, or would you commit to doing that later if this isn't the moment? And if you are someone who knows that you probably need marriage mentoring, you know that your spouse would like to do it, you know that it would be meaningful, would you be willing to take that step of commitment, to sign that card and to sign yourselves up for mentoring so that you can grow to love each other? Maybe you know that you need to confess contempt. Maybe you're hardened towards your spouse. Maybe you're distant or angry. The first step is to confess that to God right now, right here, in this moment. This is the moment right now for all of us. There's something that you need to do, that you need to confess. Would you do that? And And so maybe you're not married, or maybe you're just here and the marriage thing isn't what you're worried about. Maybe you're struggling with something in your life. Maybe there's an unconfessed sin. Maybe there's something you need to work through so that our relationships, our marriages, all of those things can mirror Christ Jesus. Maybe you're struggling with pornography. Maybe you've been unfaithful in your marriage. Maybe it's sins against other people. Something that's unconfessed, something that's unpleasing to God. Maybe you're living together and you know that you're wrong and you need to work on that and you need to make a change. Would you confess that to God and would you commit yourself to following him? Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe this is the moment to find that hope in him. So would you do that? And so this is our moment, this is our stake in the ground moment where we can look back and we can say on that day in August 2025, I committed to Jesus to make a change, to turn and to change my life. And so we're going to pray here in just a moment. And if you've done that, if there's something, we would love to pray for you. If you would take out that Connect card in your seat after I pray, and if you would just write down, hey, I made this commitment, we'd love to pray for you. We will pray for you. And if you want to write your name down, we would love to help in whatever way that we can. So you can do that. Would you pray with me? Father God, you work in amazing ways, in incredible ways in our hearts and in our minds, and we are incredibly loved by you. Lord Jesus, you gave up your own self for our good. God came to earth, which is just incredible to think about, for me, for all of us here. God, we have sinned and we have fallen short of you, and yet you have chosen us. And God, our marriages are meant to echo that sacrifice that Jesus made for his church. And would you help us, God? Would you help us to do that? We love you. We praise you so, so much for the love that you have given us. We ask that you would lead and that you would guide us with your wisdom, with your grace. And God, would it be for your honor and your glory and for your fame that your kingdom would grow and that we might be able to worship with you someday, presented as a spotless and blameless bride. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.